Let's turn together in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, our beloved physician, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through verse 18. Luke chapter 8, that's found on page 1002 in our pew Bibles. Luke chapter 8, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 18 for our text this morning. Our Luke chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right before John. Luke 8, verse 16, where we hear these words of our Lord. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. That's as far as we're reading together in God's Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the purpose of light? If you had to think of the reason that God has given light to us, you can think of creation in the beginning. God spoke into the darkness and he caused light to be. God brought forth light from his storehouse to reveal, to bring order. And when you walk into a dark room, the reason you turn on the light is so that you can see. Light is given to us as a gift to bring clarity, to bring separation from a darkness of light, separation of objects. If you come into a dark room, you cannot tell where one object starts and another object begins. Light functions in many different ways, but connected to the ministry of Jesus, we also see that light is used in different ways. He uses the illustration of light to teach different aspects about not only his own ministry, but the ministry of his people and his disciples. Well, today we are going to see that as we look in our text in Luke chapter 8, and I hope you keep your Bibles open because we're going to be looking at these verses together. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 and following there is given to us on the heels of the parable of the sower, his seed, and the field. And this truth given to us, revealed to us in the parable of the sower, is going to be further applied in these verses in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. As we read in verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That was the same application to the parable of the seed and the various types of soil. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you hear. The seed needs to be received, hidden within you, remaining in you, persevering within you, as the last verse of this parable in verse 15 says, persevering within you, remaining within you in order to produce a crop. So we're going to find the same thing today, that the word is to be remaining within us, but also brought to others as well. We look at this theme that Jesus Christ gives his light to be shared with all. Now, our text opens in verse 16 by talking about a lamp. We're not very familiar with lamps anymore, but in this particular context, a lamp would have been a smaller clay, kind of looking like a jar or a pot with a wick coming out the front. It would be fed with the oil that was in a reservoir beneath it. It was a portable oil-fed lamp that you would bring into a dark room, and you would set it on a lampstand in the midst of the whole room that you had there. And these houses were not nearly as large and complex as our houses are today. They were usually one-room homes. So if you put the lamp on a stand in the middle of the house, everyone in that house would enjoy its light. And walking into this room or into this house, the light on this lampstand would be the center focus and would give light to everyone who walked into it. And as the Egyptians found out in the book of Exodus, if there is no light, you are paralyzed. Without the light, you cannot see, you cannot move. Without light, life stops. I remember when I was younger, me and my family went to visit a cave, and you get into the deepest recesses of it, and they say, okay, everybody sit down, don't move, we're going to turn the lights off, right? And then they turn the lights off, and it's an oppressive darkness. Perhaps you've had that as well, children. You've been in an oppressive darkness. You can't see anything. You're paralyzed. They don't want you moving around so you don't bump your head or fall into a crevasse. True black is oppressive, but there is such a great joy when the light comes and the way out is revealed. Indeed, the Israelites understood this because in the temple you had that candelabra, that seven-topped menorah. It had those lights that was always lit because God's presence is represented by light. Well, we start then by finding out in our first point that the light that Jesus gives is a light that is meant to be seen. Now, that might seem self-evident, but Jesus makes the very specific point in verse 16. You don't light a lamp in order to hide the light. You light the lamp in order for the light to be seen. Now, when we think of light and disciples, our minds tend to go to passages such as Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world, so let your good deeds shine before men so that God may be glorified." Now, although it is true, as I said before, Jesus uses light to describe the good deeds of his disciples, in our text, we, the disciples, are not the light. In our text, building upon the previous passage in chapter 8, the light is connected to the seed. The light is the word. The light is the gospel. The word that shines in a dark place. Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path." This light from Jesus is reflected by his disciples and then shines forth into the world. It's Jesus' light. It's his word. It's the gospel. And he gives it to his people, turning them into lamps, if you will. And it's from the lamp that the light is to shine forth. Jesus says, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Don't distinguish it. Don't try to keep it from going forth. Now, children, you perhaps know this. If you light a candle and you hold it in your hand and you take a cup or a bowl and place it over top of the candle, what happens? Well, two things happen. The first thing that happens is the light stops shining, and the second thing that happens is the light is extinguished. It's contrary to the nature of light to have it hidden, because in hiding the light, you actually kill the light. The light is to be seen, shining forth, enjoyed by all, so that all can walk in its light. As Jesus says in verse 16, don't hinder it. Don't stand in the way of its going forth. Don't try to stop it, but shout it forth from the top of the mountains for all to hear. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the seed in the previous parable, is not for few. It is to be shed, spread. It is to be sown liberally. As that sower, remember that parable, the last, you know, that broadcast kind of sowing, you put your hand in the bag, you grab some seed, and you throw it into the wind. The same thing applies with the light. It's to be shared, spread, distributed to all. It's good news for all people, the angels continued to say. So don't restrain it, don't stop it, don't try to stop it, but put it on the stand so it's easily seen by all. Notice the focus here is not on the lamp, but it's on the light that comes from the lamp. Or Paul would say, it's not the messenger that is the focus, but it is the message. The point of this passage we just read is not the lamp. The lamp is not shining to bring glory to the lamp. It's to bring glory to that which is revealed by the light. We can put an interesting connection. It struck me this past week. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is here saying that ministers are earthen vessels. They're clay pots. And in this context, a lamp was literally a clay pot. Paul says, ministers are clay pots. They're earthen vessels. The glory is not in the clay pot, but it's in the riches that are in the clay pot that is distributed and carried to all. Ministers are not the focus, but it is the gospel riches that ministers bring forth to shed and to share. So the lamp isn't drawing attention to itself. As lamps set on fire by Jesus Christ, our focus is to illuminate the glory of Jesus Christ so that when everyone walks into our house, what they see is the beauty of our Savior. That's the whole point, that God has given us light, right? Well, that's kind of a selfish reason for a lamp to shine to bring glory to the lamp. It's to bring glory to that which is revealed, which is Jesus Christ. So our focus, the whole purpose of our lives is to illuminate Christ, to bring glory to his name. Perhaps our cadets remember this from this past week. If you have a flashlight in your hand and you shine it in someone's eyes, you blind them. They can't see anything. But if you take that flashlight and you illuminate something else, you see, the flashlight that points in someone's eye is a self-seeking, selfish flashlight. Look at me, the flashlight says, but if you take that flashlight and you illuminate something else, then you see that something else, and the flashlight is used for its proper purpose, to bring glory to someone else, which is what we are called to do. So the light that we are given is the light of Jesus Christ's word, that seed, and that's to be spread, shared to all. Just like Jesus said in the parable on the Sermon on the Mount, that the Father causes his Son to shine on the just and the unjust. It's not our job as the light or as those who are sharing, spreading the seed. It's not our job to determine who is a worthy recipient. Oh, that soil looks like it might have rocks in it. I see some thorns there. The job of a Christian is to share the light, to spread the light to all. We confess the same things. Canons of Dort 2:5 says this. The gospel is to be generously, it says promiscuously, shared to all men, declared and published to all nations. You see, congregation of Christ, the gospel, the light, is not just for you and yours, but it is for all men, for all nations, all people, all tribes, tongues, and languages, for your neighbors, for your co-workers. You see, we need to have a heart for the lost. The first application is that we need to have a heart for the lost. Our church needs to be a place, your life needs to be a place, your home needs to be a place where the gospel flows forth freely. Remember I said that Jesus uses light in different ways. It is true that we are called to show the world by our good deeds the light, so that others could see our good deeds and bring glory to our Father. But here, the light is word. It's gospel. It's content. It's a message. We can never be content to say, well, my life shows it. My life is a light. Therefore, I don't need to say anything. This passage says, you were set on fire as lamps to spread a light. And that light is the message is a good news proclamation with the content to illuminate, to show, to display the greatness of our Savior. Don't hinder it. Don't try to stop it. Don't keep it for you and your own. Last week I had an individual come to my home. He identified himself as an evangelist. And in talking to him, we talked about what kind of Christian I was, what my background was, what my churches was. And he said, "Oh, you're a Reformed church. Right? You Reformed people don't believe in missions, do you?" That's the world's concept of a Reformed Christian? I mean, come on. The world thinks Reformed Christians don't practice missions and evangelism. Something is desperately wrong here. If we believe that God is sovereign and he has his lost sheep in this world, and we believe that the Holy Spirit is powerful and effective to turn the hearts of men that are stone, that are rock, and turn them into beating, born-again Christians, if that's the kind of God we serve, then we should be the most propelled and motivated evangelists and missionaries that this world has ever seen. Reformed Christians are missionary in their core. That's what it means to be a believer in Christ, to be a lamp set on fire with the gospel message, to be shared to all men. Just as good trees are known by their fruits, so those set on fire by Jesus Christ will be known by their words. What a privilege it is that we have to illuminate Christ's greatness in this fallen, dark world. Having known the truth, set free by the truth, we can now tell others the truth. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Christ came to die on the cross so that you can be forgiven. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. Remember a few minutes ago I said from 2 Corinthians 4, that's where Paul talks about himself as a clay pot carrying the gospel riches to the world. Listen to how 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 concludes. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The light of the gospel has been given to us so that we can know God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And this message is exactly what our world needs to hear. What your brother or sister sitting down the row from you needs to hear. That's what we all need to hear. So let your words illuminate Christ. Let your speech be to the praise and the glory of the one who gave his life for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. Our world needs to hear about Christ, and we all do need it to hear. And that's why God had made us to be lamps, so that the light would shine forth, the words would come forth from us, so others could hear the greatness of our Savior. But as we continue, light is not only given here to be seen, but it also reveals what is true. This is verse 17. "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." The gospel is not only a content, a message which we are called to bring to all men, the message that we have received, it is also a standard. As the light shines forth in the darkness, the deeds of men are tested and weighed. When the gospel is spread and that seed remains within a person, they will soon produce fruit. And when that seed is rejected or rebelled against, or the seed is crowded out by worldly cares, lack of fruit is also made evident. When you hold on to the gospel truth and you embrace it and believe it and obey it, How you receive it and respond to it displays the condition of your heart. Jesus says that through the gospel proclamation, the heart of the hypocrite and the heart of the forgiven sinner will be made clear. You see, the fact is many people are good at deceiving. There are an awful lot of deceptionist people in this world in which we live. They're pretenders, right? They repent, they pretend to repent. They know the right phrases to say, they know the right things to do, but their hearts are hard. But Jesus says, ultimately, you're not going to be able to deceive the Lord. Because what is hidden will be revealed, he says. God knows his own. And in time, the wheat will be separated from the chaff. Even in this parable, the previous parable, Jesus is using the teaching of the parable to show the truth of the matter. Is that we are all like soil. Some soil is good, others hard. Men love the darkness when their deeds are evil. Those who love the Lord will love the light because they have been set free. And on Judgment Day, when Christ comes back, congregation of Christ, the standards are not going to change. The standard that Jesus will use to determine who gets to go to heaven and who is cast out into the outer darkness is the same standard that we find today. The gospel is the standard. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God? Have you trusted in him? That same requirement today is the requirement for entrance into glory. So Jesus is saying, my standard is not going to change. You may be able to deceive others in this world, but I know your heart. If you don't believe in me, if you don't embrace my word like good soil and produce good fruit, no amount of reasoning or defense will change my standard. No amount of deception changing the verdict. God sees what is done in secret, and he knows your mind. As Luke 12 says, nothing that is covered will not be revealed. Whatever you spoke in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you whispered will be proclaimed on the mountaintops. So Jesus continues, verse 18, consider carefully how you listen. I mean, we all know what we should do, what we should believe and say. But Jesus says, be careful because you're not going to deceive me. My standard remains the same. As Revelation 20 says, when Jesus comes back, he will read the secrets of our heart, judging according to what we all have done. The gospel reveals our true state. The gospel reveals what's in your heart. So take heed to how you hear. Because God's word not only exposes what's in the heart, but it's also the standard by which we will be rewarded. As verse 18 continues, be careful how you hear, for whoever has, more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. This is the same teaching that we find in the parable of Matthew 25. That's the parable of the talents. Remember the parable of the talents? You have these servants, and the king gives them talents. He gives them money, and he says, put this to work. And the first one has more. He puts it into work and gets a greater reward for it. And Jesus comes back, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's kingdom. Enter into the glory reserved for God's people. And then you have that guy who had one talent. He took that talent, and he hid it in the ground in a handkerchief. Remember what happened to him? Right? The king came back, said, "What'd you do with the talent I gave you?" He said, "Well, I hid it in the dirt. Here's your talent back." What does the king do? He takes the talent away from the guy who had one and gave it to the guy who had 10. And then he cast this guy out who used to have one talent, cast him out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is Jesus teaching here? Jesus is teaching that when you embrace the seed, when you embrace the light of God's word, you will go forth into greater knowledge and to greater blessings. When you pretend to have the seed, like the hard ground, what happens to the seed on the hard ground, children? Remember what ends up happening to that ground? What happens to it? Those birds come down and take it. So although it appeared that they had the gospel for a time, they were in the external company, they heard it, but they didn't receive it. Even what they thought they had, that seed, that word, was snatched up by the devil, and their end was worse than they were in the beginning. Because whoever has, more will be given. And for those who don't have, even what they think they have will be taken away. Think of the trees. The fruitful trees are pruned so that they produce more fruit. While the rebellious trees are cut down and burned in fire. On Judgment Day, those who have heard the gospel externally had the seed distributed to them, but didn't believe, refused to repent, their condemnation will be greater because they did not retain and embraced what was shared. Those who do not heed, who do not listen to the word, will by no means escape punishment. But for those who have received, they will increase and grow. And the seed produces fruit, and the light grows ever brighter. To him who has received the word, and that word remains within them, and they're producing fruit, more spiritual blessings and insight will be given. I mean, we can testify to this, can't we? When you listen to the word well, when you are meditating on God's word and you're taking it within you, don't you all of a sudden start seeing these connections and these parallels, and you're being spiritually blessed in ways that you had never been blessed before because that word remains within you and you increase in knowledge and holiness. But for those who do not have, like the hard soil, who try to hide the light or conceal it, what happens, children, when you put that cup, that bowl over the candle, even that little light that they thought they had is extinguished. It turns out that children's song that we all sang, right? Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, you shrink. But read your Bible, pray every day, and you continue to grow. If we do not embrace, proclaim, and extend, then what we thought we once had will be taken away. Children of the church, congregation of Christ, if we are content, I'm going to bring this full picture now. If we are content to keep the light for ourselves, if we think, well, we don't really need to worry about missions and evangelism because we have our children, Jesus is warning us, what you think you have is going to be taken away. If you don't have a heart for the lost, if we don't have a burning desire to see the gospel, the light of the good news going to all men, where do you think the future of our church is going to be? If we don't have a heart for missions, if we don't have a heart to see the glory of God testified to our neighbors and our coworkers, our friends and our family, Jesus says, take heed, for what you think you have will be taken away. If physical training is good for your body today, spiritual training is good for today, tomorrow, and forever. To conclude, when Jesus came preaching the gospel, giving that gospel to his disciples, giving us the light of his word, he said, take that word, take that light, take that seed, and spread it. Share it. Jesus is pleased to use fallen earthen lamps like you and me to receive the light and then shine. But if you don't embrace the word, if you try to hinder the light, not only will that word be taken away from you, but in the end, you will lose everything. Jesus Christ gave us a light to share. We don't share our light, it's Christ's light. The point is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to bring glory to our Savior, to illuminate the greatness, the preciousness of our husband, our brother, and our King. So may he be the focus of our life and our words. May we use our speech to display Christ's marvelous good news as he desires the light to go into this world. As he said in the end of Matthew, go out into all nations. Tell them who I am and what I did. That's good news. That motivates us. That sets us on fire, doesn't it? What's the whole point of your life? Why are you here today? Why do you go to work tomorrow? Because you've been set on fire by Jesus Christ. You have a message. You have good news that you want everyone to know, that there's a Savior. There's forgiveness of sins found in the cross. May we each have a heart for the lost and for sharing the good news that has been given to us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that has been placed in our keeping. May we be faithful lamps, O Lord. May we, like a lighthouse, a city on a hill, shine forth in this dark world, not only doing good things, but saying those blessed good words, spreading the seed so that your kingdom, your glory, so that marriage hall would be full. May we live to you the praise of your glory in all things, and give us words to speak of our Savior's praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.